Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
Welcome, fanatics, to another week of On the Trail podcast. I'm Adam Gray, joined by Jared Stansberry, brought to you, as always, by our good friends, The Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. Jared, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing, Adam? You're like the host now.
Nah, you know, I think we just like to mix it up. Keep people guessing a little
bit. I'm pretty sure you start the show every single week.
No, you do sometimes.
No, you're the host now. You're the media member here.
I don't mind being the host. I don't mind. You know, we need a true professional in here to get the job done. So,
Whoa. What? All right, I'll let you drive the show then. Now, go ahead, Adam.
We got a big week coming up here. Well, I mean, a Thursday game. Do you like the Thursday game giving you the weekend? You know, obviously you don't typically get to watch games on Saturday because you're working the whole time. So
right.
For you being an actual real journalist and reporter, someone, you know, part of the media, unlike me, are Thursday games something you like?
Yeah, they're pretty good. I don't know. It'll be nice to have my Saturday off, hang out with my dog, sit on my couch and do nothing.
The sitting on the couch and doing nothing part sounds really nice. Sitting on the couch, having an adult beverage or two, which,
yeah,
to be honest, you can't do on Saturdays until after you're done working.
Well, and we're going to play poker with Tim Mullen. So.
From Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Right.
Free plug for him right there. Yeah, we are. I'm looking forward to taking your money, watching a little football, playing some poker. I hear your Cornhuskers are playing that night.
Yeah, they are.
How you feel about them going to Columbus? Are they going to get a dub?
No.
No? I told you. I was texting this during the game. I was cheering for Nebraska. I think Mike Riley's a very likable guy.
I thought they were going to win.
I thought they were too. I did. I thought they were going to win, and I thought they went a little conservative,
mm-hmm,
which I didn't like. But enough about Nebraska. How about the Cyclones? What do you think of the Kansas State game? I know this is on the trail, but I need to get your take here. I haven't talked to you about it.
I don't know. It was just like it was just like more of the same.
Are you now the hot?
Not more of the same, but like at the same time it was, I guess.
No, definitely more of the same in the fact that there's plays that are drawn up that I think are there to be successful, and we can't make them consistently, which you see a lot of the good teams do. Trevor Ryan dropping an easy touchdown. Jacob Parr missing an easy touchdown pass. Those are actually big things. A lot of times I say Iowa State doesn't do the little things well that they need to win games. Those were big things that they needed to do,
right,
that were there for the taking. They just didn't get the job done. But everybody on Twitter afterwards is all up in arms about how the quarterbacks are being played. What's your take on that?
I think if it works like it did at the end of the game, then why not?
I personally – I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved everything about the second half and how they played. You know, Jacob Park made the really bad interception throw, and he triple pumped, quadruple pumped. How many times did he pump before throwing that ball to Daly?
I think, three or four times.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen so many pumps to get
right
before throwing it. So that was obviously not a good throw, but at the same time, I'd be hypocritical if I killed him too much for it, because for years I've been saying, hey, Iowa State's got to throw it deep. Throw it if you got a guy one-on-one coverage, throw it up to him, give him a chance to make a play. Unfortunately,
right,
not only did he throw it into that coverage, it wasn't a good throw.
Right.
Like he threw it too far inside. He didn't throw it where Daly even had a chance. Daly probably could have done a better job trying to play defense on it, but it wasn't a good throw. But other than that, and obviously the missed one-yard throw, I thought Jacob Park did really, really well. He throws the ball better than any quarterback I've seen at Iowa State in a while, and I like Joel Lanning too. I think you can play them both. I think you can.
Yeah. And I think the reality of it is, like, you know, as people are like, well, he made a mistake, why keep him out there? Like, how many quarterbacks are there in college football that if they make a mistake, they're still going out there?
They're still going out there, exactly.
There's not many teams that rotate that way.
No.
Like, he's going to – the reality of it is you got to get used to it, because he's going to be out there for a while.
Yeah, and not only that, people got to remember, he hasn't played meaningful football since he was in high school.
Right.
3 years ago. So this is, I mean, you got to let him grow and learn a little bit. And sometimes that's through mistakes. You'd obviously like it if he didn't make the mistakes. But if he does, you take him back, you coach him, you put him back out there again. And if I remember correctly, when he went back out there again, he did great. We went down and scored.
Yeah, right? I think so. I think I have the. I might have the thing. No, I'm not worried about it.
But you know, it's funny too because if Iowa State's obvious running down right on defense,
yeah,
they have a personnel in there to try to stop the run, and if all of a sudden it's third and 16. They substitute for a passing down with maybe some pass rushes on the outside.
Right.
Nobody thinks twice about this, right? But if Iowa State needs to pass the ball to win and they put in Jacob Hark, and then when they get down the red zone and they need some tough yards to run, they put in Joel Lanning, everybody flips out. What's the difference?
Right.
All it's difference is everyone always notices who the quarterback is, right? But there's no difference.
Yeah.
There's not. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Traditionally, you'd like to have one quarterback, but Iowa State's not right there right now, so why not use what you got?
I think it was Chuck Long last night on 1460, he was talking about how you just want to have your best 22 football players on the field.
And it
doesn't matter what position they play. If two quarterbacks are in your top 22, figure out a way to get them on the field, get them involved.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, and obviously Iowa State right now, I think they're trying to just figure out who their top 50 players are. And
right.
You're trying to get them because they get worn down so much, especially at certain positions. But I just never had a problem with it. I was actually kind of surprised when Twitter kind of exploded after the game as far as, you know, what are the coaching staff doing with the quarterbacks. I didn't understand it. I actually loved it. I loved how they played the whole second half. And I hope they do it again for the Oklahoma game. My guess is that when you play a team like Texas Tech who can't stop the run, you want to maybe control the time possession, you'll see a lot more Joel Lanning in that game.
What do you think about this situation with Mike Warren? Did you see what C-Dub put on the forums?
Yeah, I did. I did. I hope they can figure it out. I hope Mike can figure it out too because he's obviously a very talented player. Uh-huh. I like Montgomery a lot. I actually think Montgomery's got a lot of upside. I love how he's kind of shifting us right to left, catch the ball to the backfield. He, for the most part, does a pretty good job picking up blitzes.
Yeah.
So I like Montgomery, but Warren offers you something as far as just a home run threat if he can just figure it out and if the line can give him some holes. So
I hear that Kinney's pretty damn good too.
Kinney's good. I mean, we have a nice stable of running backs. You're not seeing it that much this year because the line's struggling. But yeah, I hope they can figure it out. To me, it's kind of like a sophomore slump, and you got to get a kid mentally over the edge. And it sounds like maybe his mother's, you know, maybe a little bit too vocal on social media. Maybe she could tone it down a notch. But I don't think she's the first parent to maybe be a little vocal.
You know you're going to be like that when
absolutely not
when Jake is trying to get his Division I scholarship.
That actually, you know very little about me if you think that's me.
No, I know you'll be tweeting at coaches.
Absolutely not.
Follow me back, coach.
Well, never in a million years. I'll be tweeting at the coaches, DMing them and saying, hey, tell me how my son's doing so I can, you know, get after him. No, I won't. I will be very quiet. And my God love Jake. I don't think I'm going to be worrying about that. I don't.
That's going to be what motivates him now. He's going to listen to this on the trail and hear that.
God, I would not be mad about that. But, yeah, so that, you know, that's kind of my take on the Kansas State game. But a lot of opportunities to win it. Didn't do it. Story of Iowa State's football career, especially against Kansas State. We do this every year against Kansas State. Get done, and I think, man, we should have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Should have won it.
Obviously some pretty big news then on Sunday too.
Yeah.
Picking up a commit from Ohio defensive end Dan Sichterman.
Position of great need.
Yeah.
As we've seen. Anything well, on they've the got, offensive and defensive lines we need.
So that's five high school defensive linemen in the class.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Plus the two JUCOs. That's already seven defensive linemen.
You think there's a glaring need there?
Yes, it does appear that way.
Yeah, you know, gosh, next year, those JUCO linemen better be ready to play, and even maybe a freshman better be ready to play because they're losing a lot, and there's not a lot there to begin with right now. My big question after watching this game too is, do you think they're ever going to go after a JUCO linebacker? Or do you think that they feel good enough with Tymar Sutton redshirting and maybe Ryan Vance having a chance to come in and play or somebody else? Because I look at the linebacker core, to me there's a glaring need for immediate help there as well.
Yeah. I think they feel really good about Tymar Sutton.
I hope so. I mean, because that would make sense because we're not hearing really anything as far as junior college linebacker recruiting.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It they have some sort of plan, I'm sure, for that, you know, and it's like I think they feel good enough about Tymar Sutton and they feel good enough about maybe the futures of like Willie Harvey and some of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're still only sophomores. Like they've got a lot of linebackers still coming back.
They do. You know, the thing that bothers me and I shouldn't even bring this game up, but I was watching the Wisconsin-Nebraska game, and I know Wisconsin's a top five defense in the entire country, but, man, those linebackers are so instinctive.
Right.
They fill holes, and they tackle as good as any team you'll see. I mean, they don't miss – if they get their arms wrapped around you, you're not breaking free. They're tackling you. That is like a dream for me for Iowa State. We haven't seen it since not inclined, really. And even them, the defensive line in front of them probably wasn't good enough to really fill those holes. But still, I watch a Willie Harvey, and I think every now and then he makes some plays where he stands out and say he's got it, potential there.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, our linebackers just aren't instinctive enough that you know for how you want as a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is something you really got to watch film if you're coaching and you're recruiting these kids, and watch the film of them in high school and say, that kid might not have the size, he might not have the speed, but, man, he gets in there and fills a hole.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, when those Wisconsin kids go to the combine, they're not going to be the biggest and they're not going to be the fastest, but, man, they're freaking good football players.
Well, and I think that's what I heard you say about the Sichterman kid. You know, we were just watching his tape right before.
Yep.
And it's like, he isn't going to wow you with his off-the-edge speed.
Yep.
You know, he's not huge.
He's got good speed, but he's got great speed.
But he's a guy you can tell who knows football. Yep. He knows where he's supposed to be, and he knows how to do his job. And then he's good enough that he can – and he wants to work hard enough to where he can make the plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, he's, what, 6'3", 235 pounds?
Yeah.
I mean, good size. He's not a beast of a defensive end. They'll probably get him up to, what, 250, 255 when he plays?
And it sounded like there was a handful of schools that were waiting to see his senior film before he – before they offered him.
Yeah.
So I think he was on some schools' radars already, even though he was committed to Ball State, didn't have that many big offers.
Who was the player that we watched his tape to? Cumberland. Cumberland was another small defensive end. I watched his film, and I said, that guy, I mean, he's not like a Bobby Rountree, who's 6'5", you know, and can end up looking like he could be a beast.
Yeah.
That guy just knows how to play football. Give me 11 of those guys on defense. Just 11 of them, because I
– Well, and that's what you see from, like, a Wisconsin defense.
Yep.
None of those guys – yeah, like you said, none of those guys are going to wow you with their athletic ability, but they just know what they're supposed to do, and then they're just solid.
Yeah, they're hard to move.
Yeah.
They're up front, and then the linebackers just know where to fill, and there's no – you have to go out and beat a team like that. They're not going to make mistakes. You have to go and beat them.
That's the crazy thing, like – Nebraska's defense was almost starting to make me – like, they are getting to that point almost.
Yeah, Nebraska's defense, both those teams –
Except for a couple of those runs that they gave up, like
– to the guy who was not supposed to beat them.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, for the most part, though, you're going to give up big runs. It's just the consistently getting beat on first down runs where it puts your defense behind the eight ball. If we can – Iowa State can get a couple defensive linemen and hold it down and then get some linebackers that know where to fill the holes and just kind of have a feel as far as playing behind the line of scrimmage and coming up making tackles, I think their secondary is good enough that if you put teams in third and six, third and seven, I think they can do a pretty good job.
And you see most of the time that they do get them – when they do get them into those situations. I mean, there was a couple situations like where it was like third and 15.
Yeah.
And they would give up a big play.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell was that? But –
And unfortunately, that's going to
happen. But then even later in the game, you see Everett Edwards make some good plays. DeAndre Payne, I think, made a couple nice plays.
Yes, he did.
Those guys made some really good plays on those those screen passes and stuff, you know.
How about Iowa State running a screen pass that actually worked? I mean, they got called back a little bit for a penalty, but when was the last time you remember Iowa State having a screen pass to a running back that worked?
I don't know.
1986. That's what it feels like, 1986. Oh, man. I'll never forget Iowa State. It always seemed for years they'd be playing a really good first half, getting ready to go to halftime, and they're like, they're thinking, we're either going to have the lead or we're going to be down just by a single score. We'd get the Oklahoma or Kansas State or someone would get the ball back with 40 seconds to go. They'd run a screen pass to the running back, and Iowa State would just, oh, gosh, I never thought that they would run a screen pass here. It'd go for 60 yards, and they'd end up getting a late field goal or touchdown to go into half, and all momentum was gone. That used to be a reoccurring theme for Iowa State football. I'm giving you a little bit of a history lesson here.
Yeah, I believe it.
So we got a commitment out of him. Like I said, a position of need. Who else is kind of on the horizon, you think?
I don't know.
Obviously, we're still going kind of big in the offensive line, trying to get Caleb Chandler back in force. I'm still interested to see, and I, this staff, as we saw this last year, they're going to find guys that we haven't even heard of in the recruiting game via transfer. I would not surprise me if they got three or four transfers again next year to come in and help fill immediate needs.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Offensive lineman, linebacker, somebody to come in. And, gosh, if they could just get any kind of help in the offensive line, I think this team could be really good next year. I mean, really good for Iowa State's.
Right.
I think if you get
Campos back.
Sean Foster will be a year older.
Sean Foster's a year older.
Julian Good Jones is a year older.
Patrick Scoggins.
If he can get hit that medical.
If he can get his sixth year.
Yep.
But like, he's been really impressive, I think, at times.
And that's a good four-person group right there.
Yeah.
But who do you have other than that, and who do you have for depth? That's the thing that's going to come back to, because then all of a sudden you're another Campos injury away from being exactly the same position that we're at right now. So that's what the staff's got to do, is they got to go out and get depth. And they're obviously recruiting the high school level pretty well, but those high school kids are going to be coming in ready to play right now.
Yeah.
They're just not, I mean, they're not. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. I still think that, unfortunately, we're probably 2-3 years away from rebuilding just because of the offensive line is so depleted in depth. Mm-hmm. But I hope that the coaching staff can prove me wrong on that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to kill the current offensive lineman right now, too, because I think they're playing their asses off. I think those kids, I mean, no offense to, you know, our two walk-ons, I think those guys are getting every bit out of their God-given talent that they can. But at the same time, they are walk-ons playing Big 12 football. That's a tough spot to be put in.
Right.
It's the same thing I brought up to you before with Brian Peterson and Sean Haluska. Those guys were great walk-ons. They played their asses off for Iowa State basketball. The results weren't there, but from what they had, for the ability they had, I thought they did a great job.
Definitely. So they had a basketball recruit come in this weekend too. That JUCO guy, Eden Ewing.
Ewing. Have we found out, is he related to Patrick?
No, I don't think he is.
Okay. Well, I don't want him then.
Fair enough.
So, you've since gone back, watched his tape, and you say his jumper's not broken.
Yeah, I take it back.
All right.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
I'm sorry, Eden.
So he, like most fours nowadays, he looks like an athletic guy, blocks some shots, but a pick-and-pop kind of four player.
Right. Yeah.
He'll like to be – I mean, pick-and-pop, pick-and-roll.
Yeah, I'd say he's more a pick-and-roll type guy. I mean, he probably can shoot a little bit, but I don't know if he's a guy you're going to want jacking up 5 threes a game or anything like that, you know.
Well, we never wanted those fours jacking up that many threes, but they always seem to want to, don't they? And they're given wide open shots.
Because everybody's a stretch four now.
They all are. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it's gone.
Adam Gray would have had a much greater career if that was the case.
A 6'3" guy with an 8-inch vertical. I'm sure I would have had to have been a pick and pop.
Yeah.
No one would have been afraid of me going by him and dunking. I can promise you that. Good stuff. Yeah, so did you get? Have you talked to him afterwards? You talked to anyone up there about how they're feeling with this kid?
It's a little bit quiet right now.
Okay.
And I sent some text messages with him the other day, and it's just, I don't know. I asked him how his visit was. It was good.
That's it?
Yeah. So.
Okay. Visit was good. He's been offered by LSU.
Yeah. LSU, Purdue, I think that's the –
the two big ones?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say right now, probably, you know, we're obviously biased. I think it's the best offer.
Yeah.
What, 57 straight weeks now in the top 25?
That's right.
You sell that, man. If you're Steve and the staff, I mean, that's a selling point right there. Do we want to go to questions? Because that takes me into the first question here as well.
For sure.
So we put it, Jared put on Cyclone Fanatic, just questions from users as far as recruiting. Gunner Clone says, how big of a factor is recruiting momentum, really, specifically in basketball? Does landing a guy like Wigington change the way Prohm recruits or the players that he targets? What do you think, Jared?
I don't know how much it changes who you target, but it's definitely a good selling point, you know, to a 2018 guard when you can be like, come in and play alongside this guy.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely
Maybe might get your foot in the door. That's with a little bit higher level of a prospect, but like they're already going after some pretty high level prospects in those next couple classes.
Sure.
You know,
I think it's big in recruiting momentum as long as you use it. You know, mm-hmm. as long as you kind of, I think it, for a guy like Wigington too, you have to. Now, to be fair here, Wigington's a really nice recruit. He's not a 5-star point guard.
No.
I think there's bigger momentum, obviously, in saying, hey, we got this guy who is a 5-star, top 5 point guard, McDonald's All-American. I think you can really sell that. But I think you can sell this guy, too, because usually a top 50 guy like him is going to be in school for 3 or 4 years. And I think that helps you for future classes, not just this class alone.
Well, I think that's, you know, it's like right now to Donovan Jackson, like in theory to Donovan Jackson, they could have been like, you can be – come play alongside Monte like that.
Yeah.
You guys will be a badass duo.
Which actually, I think for Donovan, it was sold
Monte's going away, but pro,
you're going to be the guy leading the team. I think that was probably how it was sold to him. And him being a JUCO player, it's a little bit different, right?
Right.
His time is shorter. He wants to get as many minutes as he can in a short 2-year period to show that he's the guy.
But I guess I think of it like it's, you know, they're trying to find – like Prohm's supposedly the point guard guy. And it's like after Lindell, you're like Lindell's going to be the next one and then it's going to be you.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's like the big – like you're just your trajectory you can sell to a point guard.
And I think they can sell that as early as 2018.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying with their point guards and two guards and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you need two point guards.
Yeah.
And after Jackson's gone, they will only have Wigginton. So I think 2018 is a chance for them to go out and get another really nice point guard.
Right.
And the good thing is we talked about this before, I think Wigginton's a guy that can play one and two, whatever you need him to, especially the way the game is played nowadays.
You don't even need guys that – play just like you just want guys that play basketball.
Yeah, well look at
doesn't matter what position you play,
and I hate them so much, but look at West Virginia. A lot of times those guards they're all interchangeable.
Well, that's what makes them so infuriating, is that they are interchangeable.
Well, what makes them infuriating is they foul every 5 seconds, and the refs, by the end of it, get tired of calling fouls, and they swallow their whistle, and they just muddy up games. And the games for West Virginia are as long as playoff baseball games. They go on forever and ever.
I haven't watched a full playoff baseball game this year.
It's because it takes 18 hours to play.
They should start this game tonight pretty early, then.
Me and my dad, big baseball fans, love it. And I watch playoff baseball, and he does too. But, man, baseball games should not take longer than like 2.5 hours. And 2.5 hours to me is even pushing it. They should be fast. I mean, there's no – in a Cubs game, I'm going completely off the rails here. 6-1 baseball game took 4 hours. Not extra innings, anything. 6-1, 4 hours. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
What should they do to change it?
They should not let pitchers take 30 seconds between a pitch. They shouldn't let batters step out every time. They shouldn't allow.
I thought they weren't supposed to be able to.
Well, they do. They do. I think they changed that rule like in the minor leagues, or they tested it for a little bit. But it's too long in between pitches.
I know they have the clock at Principal Park. My friend used to run it.
Sounds like a fun job. It's like a shot clock, isn't it?
Well, he was like a media relations, and then that was like part of his job was that he had to run the pitch clock.
It's exact same as running a shot clock, I would imagine.
Yeah, just probably,
hit the button. Hit the button.
Yeah.
No, I think they should. I mean, you shouldn't take longer than 15 seconds between pitches. And you shouldn't take that long for a pitching change. And I would even limit how many times a catcher can go.
Yeah, I don't get why they get – don't you get like a whole minute usually, like, or a couple minutes to throw
too long
warm-up pitches?
Too long.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. You've been in the bullpen warming up.
Yeah. I don't know. And I see it in Little League, too, man. Little League games nowadays take forever. The kids walk in and out of the dugouts between pitches. The coaches are coaching too much. Just let the kids go play. Make it fast. Baseball's slow enough the way it is.
I've been watching the NBA more than I've been watching baseball.
Have you?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the NBA yet. Give me when baseball's over with and I'll tune in. You know I love the NBA.
Yeah. Why is Gray in love with Tony Romo?
Who's that? Jay Hunzi?
Yeah.
Jay Hunzi.
No, I don't. Are you really gonna answer? Or are you?
Yeah, I'll just do a quick one. I like the fact that Tony Romo's not scared as a quarterback. That guy's not afraid of making mistakes. People always kill him for it, but he goes out. Plus, he's really damn good. People forget this. 2 years ago, before he got hurt, he's second in the MVP for quarterbacks. I mean, he's a good flipping quarterback. So I like him. All right, next question.
No names, but do you get the feeling from any football commits that they won't be staying committed? I think this is supposed to say if we go 1-11 or 2-10.
Well, we've already seen Octavius Morgan decommit after he was here for the UNI game.
That was a long time ago now, it feels like.
Yeah. But I think it was pretty clearly because we lost to UNI. I think the timing of it seemed like that was one of the reasons. I don't think it helps. Here's the deal. We've seen Iowa State lose commits when they've gone 6-6. We've seen them lose commits when they've gone 2-10. I think they're going to lose commits. I don't know if any kid will come out and say it's because Iowa State won two games.
I think if a kid comes out and says, Iowa State won only two games, I don't want to go there anymore.
We don't want him anymore.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think that's a kid that you want anyway.
No, you want
because you want the guys that are going to come in. They see 2-10. They're like, F that.
Yeah.
We're going to be better than that. We're going to be the guys that change that.
Competitive guys.
Yeah.
I want to come in here and I want to do something at this school that hasn't been done before or hasn't been done in a very long time. And for the most part, you know, and this is just judging off of kids that we see on social media, I think we got a couple kids that are like that,
mm-hmm.
that have that, overconfidence. They're probably more confident than they should be, but that's great, man. I'd rather have a kid that's too confident than a kid's got no confidence. You can tone down a little bit of a cocky, overconfident kid.
Right.
And the kid that doesn't, no thanks.
Percent chance that we land Stokes through all the silent UNC offer talk.
Who's this asked by?
Jay Burke.
Oh, we'll skip it. F. Jay Burke. We don't need to talk. No, I'm kidding, Jay. You know what? I wonder if Jay Burke, we're throwing that Fallcast party at Charterhouse Real Estate Office on Friday night at 7.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to record the Fallcast at 6 o'clock. Right after that, we're going to be...
you guys should have Jay Burke on the Fallcast.
Well, I want to know if Jay Burke will show up for that or if he'll be a little bit of a pansy like he's been in the past and not show up.
Why do you have to be mean to him?
I actually like Jay Burke. It's kind of just been in the funny stick lately. You know, Jay Burke's the one that just gets ripped on. But yeah, anybody listening, swing over to Charterhouse Office.
We don't rip on anybody. We usually do ELE.
What?
ELE.
What's ELE?
Everybody love everybody.
Well, I do love everybody. And part of my
Have you never seen Semi-Pro?
Yeah, I've seen Semi-Pro. I didn't remember what you were talking about. Oh, well, here, Jared, I like you. I rip on you, you know, pretty
yes,
constantly.
That is 100% true.
I still like you. I mean, that's just the way I show people that I like them. Okay, so percent chance that we land Stokes through all the silent UNC offer talk. What would you say, Jared?
I don't know. I'll keep it at what it was last week, 50-50.
50-50?
Yeah.
I'm going to go – I'll go a little lower than that. I'll say 40% just because that UNC offer does kind of loom out there a little bit.
Right.
And, man, it's just been so quiet on his front. So very quiet. I have no feel for this at all. I hope the 50-50 talk is right. I think if Iowa State can land him, that is that's a legitimate solid class for Iowa State, as good as we've seen from the high school ranks in a long time.
Definitely.
So right now it's already a good class. I think they put it up to a really good class. The kid transferring or leaving and going to Mississippi State probably took it down just a small notch.
Are you ever going to talk about the exercise coach?
Yeah. You want me to talk about it right now?
Yeah, talk about it right now.
You know what I'm doing right now, Jared?
What?
I'm doing the Metabolic Comeback Challenge.
Yeah, you're not drinking any beer.
No beer. No bread, no sugar, no dairy for 1 month. And I am feeling great, man.
What do you eat, dirt?
No, man. Last night, you know what I had?
Dirt?
I had a sweet potato. I cut it up into little cubes, put a little olive oil and some salt and pepper on the sweet potato. It was so good, man. So good. And I had it with steak. That's a good meal. You know what I had this morning for breakfast? I had eggs and bacon. What's wrong with eggs and bacon? Nothing.
But you don't get any bread?
No bread. Lunch, I'll probably have a little rotisserie chicken with some asparagus, maybe a little avocado.
I like all these meats. I don't like these vegetables, though.
Vegetables are good, man. You got to grow up a little bit. You got to grow up. I feel great. You know, I did this about four or five months ago. Felt great doing it then. Feel great doing it now. And that between working out the exercise coach, I'm starting to shred some pounds here. Jared, maybe one day I'll be as skinny as you again, but I feel really good. Anybody that's looking just to feel better about themselves, quick story about me, tore my Achilles about 4 years ago. Between that and three kids, just completely stopped exercising. My left leg, where I tore my Achilles, is so terribly weak. It's horribly weak. But if I go for a run, I ran a Race for the Cure on Saturday with Julie, 3 miles. My left leg still, everything else feels good. My left leg feels like it's just like it's dead. It hurts. Never feel that pain when I go to the exercise coach. So if anybody's out there and they kind of have an excuse like I did, maybe the pre-existing injuries kind of keeping them out, or they're just out of shape like I have been because I've used every excuse in the book, kids, events, so on and so forth, give them a call, 20 minutes, 4 free workouts through Cycling Fanatic. Not going to cost you anything, just to go try it out, and I promise you'll love it. They got a couple new workouts there, by the way. You need to go check it out. It's stepped up.
Like new machines or something?
They have a couple new machines, one called the Surge that's it's unbelievable. It's just the simplest thing that I'm thinking, how has no one thought of this before? And you can do 100 different exercises on it, and it just absolutely kicks my you know what. Kicks it every time.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, yeah. They also do a new cardio thing. Instead of just doing like the elliptical for 5 minutes,
yeah,
you go 2 minutes on the bike, 2 minutes on the other bike, 2 minutes on the elliptical straight, and I felt more tired doing that than I did after the 3 mile run.
I could always get through all the lifting.
It's that cardio, man.
And then that cardio, dude. Oh my gosh, that bike just kicked my butt.
Yeah, that resistance on it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. Jay Burke has a couple other questions here. Do we need to talk about? Has there been any rumblings of commits changing? We already talked about that. Has there been any additional notes on the early signing period for football? What percentage of chance do you see this getting approved? I think this is going to get approved. I don't know when, but I think it will get approved at some point.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good thing?
I think it's a good thing for schools like Iowa State if you can get some of these kids in early.
I think it is, but do you think that we'll see the number of people transferring go up?
Can it go up any higher than it already has been?
In football, it can.
In football, it can. Yeah. You know what? I think that's just a risky take. I don't think that should be a deterrent because of that. You do, obviously. Your face kind of.
I don't know. I think of how often these kids are decommitting.
Yeah,
football especially.
Well, I think what it would push kids back from maybe committing earlier. But the kids that want to commit early,
yeah,
they do it. And then, I don't know, let the kids after that, once they sign, be done with and not be, you know, getting calls all the time. And
I just think there's
good and bad.
There's good and bad to it. There definitely is. Because I think there are kids that it's like a Devin Moore or something like that.
Yeah.
Where you might want to sign him early and it's just like, he might just want to be done with it, you know?
Him, Josh Johnson, Cam White, those kind of guys. And Iowa State clearly would want to get all those wrapped
up. Well, and I'm sure there could be some kind of situation in which the coaches are like, no, we don't want you to sign in this period.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Or let it play out.
Yeah.
Or, hey, they'll slow play, kid. I think kids would get smarter. I think their coaches in high school would get a little smarter as far as saying, hey, I know you want to commit right now, but I think you should take it until the fall, until February before making your decision, so you don't have to sign right now and be stuck with anybody. Especially, I mean, let's be honest. You look all around the country, there's some coaches right now that are on the hot seat. You do an early signing period with them right now, and then the coach gets fired, are they going to let him out?
Right. There's just a lot of things that need to be thought out with it.
Yeah.
And it would all add like a whole new level of strategy to the recruiting game, though.
Yeah. Out of the football recruits we are still targeting, who would you have on your top five wish list? This is from Boz Clone. Caleb Chandler, number one. DeMarcus Hayes, the JUCO tackle that we talked about way back when, I think would probably be right up there too, just because we need somebody to come in right away. Thayer Munford, which he never played at all this year because of his, but he's still an elite talent. I think we've seen what a guy like DeShante Jones can do for Iowa State. So I would look down at, I'm drawing a blank on the wide receiver who tore his ACL this year.
Is it KJ?
KJ Hamler.
What about his brother? Keontae.
Oh, Keontae Jones too?
Yeah.
You know, Keontae Jones would be nice. I don't know if I'd put him as a top five wish list just because we do have a Cam White already committed.
Uh-huh.
Mike Johnson's a freshman. I don't look at it as necessarily quite as big of a need. And then on the defensive line, or linebackers. See, the linebackers, there's not a whole lot of names out there.
Right.
How about you? What do you got?
I don't know. That's about the five that I would say. Somebody asked about the hot board.
We'll get to it.
It's just those – it takes a lot of talking to people to put that together, you know, a lot of research. I don't have a lot of time right now.
Yeah.
So it's just hard to do those things in the middle of the season.
Yeah, and then I mean, the bye week probably would have been a good week for us to get out there and figure that out. But let's see here. Let's do one more question and then let's wrap this up here. What are the chances we land Keontae Jones and Howard Watkins specifically? I think Keontae Jones has got to be better than 50-50. Obviously, his brother's here. His brother's not only is he here, but he's having a ton of success as a freshman. That has to help. And when he's having success, he's probably saying good things to his brother.
Right.
So I think obviously he's got a really good chance at landing him. I could not answer Howard Watkins. How about you?
I don't know about Watkins. I'd probably say the same about Keontae, though.
Okay. Perfect, man. Well, we got to get going here. We got to get the Jeff Woody on for your CFTV Live podcast.
Definitely.
You ready to rock and roll with him?
Yeah, it's going
to
be a good time.
Break it down. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks again to the exercise coach in West Des Moines for sponsoring the podcast. We'll see you guys next week.